internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
Your number one location for fun and excitement is right here at Back Time as we remember the fun and excitement of the events that populated October 22nd. Today in 1945, we discovered a toy that could walk down the stairs all by itself. The Slinky first went on sale. On this date in 1966, the Supremes became the first female group to have a number one album when Supremes A Go-Go topped the charts. And today in 1973, President Nixon agreed to turn over White House tape recordings in a case which, for once, had nothing to do with file sharing or downloading. That's Back Time for October 22nd. This is your announcer speaking.
David Caruso's got a granny with a grudge. CSI, Grandma.
So what do we got?
Well, Horatio, looks like this 89-year-old woman refuses to return a kid's football that keeps landing in her yard.
Sounds like this blue hair needs a timeout.
David Caruso is back, and this time he's calling an audible on CSI, Grandma.
Horatio, we've got her in custody, and she won't be able to post bail.
Looks like Granny has fallen, and she can't get out.
This is one octogenarian who's not having a ball. Tonight on CSI Grandma.
The Kentucky legislature bans gay pet weddings. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Kentucky lawmakers dealt a harsh blow to same-sex pet advocates today as they unanimously voted to outlaw gay pet weddings. Republican State Senator John Westwood vowed to protect the tradition of pet marriage in the bluegrass state.
Pet marriage is a sacred bond between a male dog and a female dog, and that's just the way it is. That's the way it's always been.
Disappointed activists advise owners of gay pets still determined to be married to travel to Vermont, where all manner of depraved coupling somehow remains legal. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
From high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, October 22nd.
We have to change that. We're not high atop the LA radio building anymore.
We are. We're atop the...
But we're not.
We're on the second floor. This is our building now.
We are way above the Suburbia Salon.
Way up on the second floor.
Yes.
I don't know. I kind of like this bumper. Who knows? Yeah, we'll change it.
Okay.
Okay. How are you doing this morning, Susie?
I'm good. Finally starting to feel a little bit more rested after 2 days ago when I was up all night.
Yeah.
But
you look well rested. That's
thank you.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah. In still, a good mood.
And, I'm still surprised every time my alarm goes off in the morning, though. I will give you that. I've not yet gotten used to it.
Really?
It goes off and I'm just like, what? What is this?
It's hard to get used to it. But what if you were on terrestrial radio and they do morning shows from 6 to 10?
I wouldn't be on terrestrial radio from 6 to 10. I got that offer the other day to do that thing for Clear Channel. And I was just like, are you guys kidding me?
Yeah.
A, no. And B, no.
Yeah.
6 in the morning on my weekend?
Yeah.
I'm like, screw you guys.
Yeah.
But thank you for the offer.
Yeah. And they want you to pay $1,400 for an hour.
Yeah.
Did
yeah.
you notice that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But with a national thing like that, wouldn't like you get a car company or something to pay, like, you know?
But it's not a national thing. I mean, terrestrial radio is local.
I think the Clear Channel thing is national, no?
No, not that one. No. Huh. If you're not on satellite radio and it's not a syndicated program.
What's syndicated mean?
Syndicated means that, like Howard Stern, for example, he, let's say he did a show from one radio station in New York, and then they started letting other stations carry the same show.
Oh.
So that's syndication.
Okay.
So, so when there's syndication, you can go national. But terrestrial radio, when you turn on the radio, that's LA radio.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not really national, but they do have more listeners than we do just because there's a lot of
people in their cars.
Yeah, radio in cars and stuff, you know. But so they're struggling really to fill their schedules and stuff, you know, and then they go into the weekends where they don't really have daily shows, so they just find people to host shows like we do, you know, except you pay $1,400 an hour.
That's obscene.
Then it's gone forever. Yeah, but you know, I guess if you do get a like a car dealer or something, mm-hmm. you know, to sponsor you, then yeah, it would work.
But who would pay that per hour?
People do all the time.
Really?
Yeah. Because they try to get exposure. They don't know that internet radio exists yet. And besides, people like it. I mean, there are they do have listeners, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like they don't. But, yeah, so they are struggling, clear channel or not, you know.
Yeah. And also, I don't know if I'd be able to curb my enthusiasm, so to speak.
Yeah.
with regards to colorful language and sex.
And sex. Indeed, yes.
Are you allowed to talk about those things, like on regular... I don't know. Probably not in as much graphic detail as
no.
we do.
Oh, no. Not at all. Definitely not the language.
Oh, God.
And, but even the subject matter, yeah. I mean, you can't do it. You know, you can't do it on terrestrial radio simply because there's too many rules, you know. And, but you know, to a certain extent, I understand that because the airwaves are public, you know.
You've got kids tuning in.
Yeah, you know, so you don't know who might tune in when they're not expecting. But, you know, if you get a subscription.
But also the same with the internet, you know, so I don't know. You don't think eventually that we're going to be censored, do you?
No. No,
never?
I don't. No, because I'll tell you why. You see, and that's why they try to put a lot of laws in place for the internet, but you really can't because the internet is global. It doesn't really belong to any country.
Oh.
You see? So, for example, let's say that the FCC decided, yeah, we're going to regulate internet radio in the United States. So fuck it, we put our website somewhere else. You know? If the website is hosted somewhere else, you're not American.
Wow.
Yeah, you're not bound by those laws.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's why a lot of people with porn and casinos and stuff, they have websites like in Antigua and who knows where else, you know, the Virgin Islands.
Oh, yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah, you see, so...
I don't think about all these things.
No, but that's why you have me. But incidentally, we're talking about radio, and that's the interview we're going to have in a few minutes with an author that wrote a book called Hello, Everybody, The Dawn of American Radio. Yeah, I'm reading it upside down. And so this is amazing because this guy's been in radio for a long time, obviously chronicling the industry. And we can probably get some really cool information from him on what he thinks the future holds. You know, and definitely we are the future. And I'm eager to see it from his perspective, you know.
I know.
So that would be really cool.
I like it right here at the beginning. He says, for all the dedicated broadcasters who make American media so incredibly vibrant.
Yes.
He's dedicating the book to us, Sam.
Yeah. Radio was very revolutionary when it came out. I mean, think about it. You know, it was the first really form of mass communication.
I know.
You know, so it's pretty cool, I think. So we'll have that in a few minutes. And we're also going to have a couple of great guests. They're going to be hosts on the station, and they're a lot of fun, and they'll be here a little bit later. So we should have a lot of fun today.
Cool. I'm excited.
Yeah. So did Eric like the show yesterday, your guest?
Yes, he had a great time.
Really? Yeah.
He's been such an avid listener, and, you know, he's always, I don't know, I just thought it would be nice to bring him in and, have you meet another one of my boys.
Yes.
My interesting taste in men. Uh-huh. I know you're eyeing the skirt.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I didn't realize it was a skirt until you pointed it out, but then I looked at it and I thought, how bizarre. You know, the guy's wearing a skirt.
Wouldn't you enjoy wearing a skirt? Just hear me out. Hear me out.
Okay.
Hear me out. Wouldn't you enjoy, say it's a, you know, it's a warm day, and like instead you're wearing your whitey tighties, you've got your balls all bunched up, you know,
right.
Nothing's breathing, everything's restricted, you've got pants on top of that,
right.
and then, you know, instead you take your underwear off, you take off your pants, and you put on a skirt, and you walk down the street, and your balls are hanging, and they're flapping in the breeze, the breeze is going to be so lovely and refreshing,
right.
I mean... Underwear can be so restrictive, and it's actually not even healthy for men.
But his
to be all bunched up.
His skirt was floor length, so I mean the thing is that how does air get into there?
It's very
anyway?
Breathable,
yeah.
And it's kind of, it's wrapped, so it's got like two layers. And when he walks, it kind of like separates at the,
I see.
At the corner.
Yeah, and airing out the balls.
Out the balls.
Now, let me ask you, what's wrong with a pair of boxers and loose shorts? You'd get the same effect.
What's the point of boxers? I've never understood that.
Because it lets you see. I only wear boxers when I go to sleep, you know. But during the day, I don't because, it's not really comfortable, you know. It's too bulky inside the pants. And
I've always thought it was too bulky inside the pants too.
Yeah.
But what's the point of even wearing them as like underwear at all?
Well, because you're wearing something, and yet you are airing out your balls a little bit. So it's pretty nice. It's not tight, you know. So. Yeah, I mean, there's ways around wearing a skirt. Come on, you know. But I mean, look, if that's what he likes, let him do it. You know, I mean, my God. So do people stare at him?
Not usually.
No. Maybe because they don't notice. Nobody expects a guy to wear a skirt.
I also think in LA, like, people, you see all kinds of walks of life walking down the street. So, I mean, it takes a lot to make someone look. Yeah. And he also kind of has, like, the hippie look to him. So, you know, it's kind of a hippie-like thing to do.
I suppose.
There is one skirt that I think is really cool on men. It's like a utility skirt. I think Franz should get one. And he would actually wear it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because he has no problem dressing in women's clothes. Why are you snickering?
What do you want me to say to that?
I don't know. I mean,
all right, go ahead.
I don't know. A lot of the men that I date have a little bit of an effeminate overtone or undertone to them.
Which is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing at all when a man is in touch with his feminine side. I think I am to a certain extent, too.
You know, I don't know. I just feel like I kind of dominate or wear the pants a little bit more, so I tend to go for men that are a little easier. Yeah. Actually, it was really cute. Franzi was telling me last night on the phone. First of all, he was livid when I told him. He's like, how's the show going? And I was like, it's good. And he's like, who's your guest today? And I was like, normally he never asks how the show is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he usually
because he probably listened.
No, he didn't. He's in New York. He's in his own little world. Right. But so his spider senses must have been tingling because he's like, "How was the show? Who was your guest?" And I was like, "Oh, it was great. Actually, Eric came on." What? Eric came on, and he instantly got like very like you know defensive. He's like, "Well, why didn't you call me? I was awake. I would have called in and been your guest." Yeah. And I was like, "Well, every time you call in, you know, you're quiet. You don't really say much. You kind of like keep everything to yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't want to let anything know." And he's like, "Well, do you want me to be telling the intimate details of our relationship?" Mm-hmm. And I was like, "I don't care because I pretty much do that on a daily basis."
Yeah.
He's like, "Well, I would tell everyone you're crazy." I was like, "I think people mostly know that I'm crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I think they've kind of gotten the hint."
But TJ McCormick was speaking highly of you yesterday
because
he was promoting our show and he said, let's see if I remember all the adjectives.
Okay.
Well, obviously sexy and he said very intelligent.
Ooh.
Very intelligent.
Come on, give me more.
Yeah. I think open or honest, whatever that is.
That's for sure.
And you are. Yeah, so things, I don't know if I'm adding that in, but he said a few things that I don't remember, but it was all really nice compliments.
Aww,
you know?
I love him too. He's just great.
Yeah,
he really
he's
is.
Really cool.
I felt bad, kind of uncomfortable, and now I know why he probably went off on the woman the other day.
Yeah.
As I was walking out, and I met her yesterday, and then she was like, I was shaking when he started yelling at me, and I was like, yeah, you have to understand, he just gets very excited and very passionate about politics and what he's talking about. Right. She's like, but he was yelling at me, you know, and I didn't really want to discuss the politics with him.
Yeah.
And then she was like, and then he was talking about Sarah Palin. And I was kind of like, oh.
Yeah,
like,
so.
I like Sarah Palin. Yeah. But like, I have a hard time like telling people that because then I felt like she was going to start screaming at me.
Yeah.
She was like, there are no women in America that like Sarah Palin. And she was getting all heated. And I was like, actually, I do.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Listen, we got a phone call. I don't know if that's a guest because we're supposed to call them.
I'll pick it up.
But let's see who that is. Yeah. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie. Who's on the line?
I said she's beautiful. I said she's got a big brain. Big brain was the big one.
Big brain, okay.
Big brain. I said she's very quick, very witty, and I said very honest and brash and unafraid and all that stuff.
Yeah, you did. You did.
Oh, TJ, you're precious.
Yeah, it was very nice of him. By the way, this is TJ McCormick, our noon man here with the world of TJ McCormick. And nice of you to be listening, TJ. And so he corrected me right there. Yeah, cool.
My ears were burning. I knew somebody was, I heard my name through the ethers. And I said, oh, they must be talking about me.
Yes, about you. And then also, for those who didn't get to a chance to listen to this, is when you had a guest in the studio, an author, and you started taking the conversation into politics, and and she just felt that you were attacking her, and she got up and stormed out of the studio.
Yeah.
I met her yesterday, TJ, and I thought she was going to yell at me, actually. because she started saying something about how you were talking about Sarah Palin and how hot she was, and how do we really want someone as a vice president that's hot? And you know, this woman wasn't necessarily the hottest thing herself, you know, but so I was just, she's like, no women in America like Sarah Palin. And I was just kind of standing there being like, I do.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I have to say, though, Kim was very honest in the sense that, because at one point I did ask her, and Sam, I guess we're going to go ahead and put that show back up on the archives, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did ask to put it on, so yes, we'll put it on. By the way, before we forget, TJ is going to sit in your seat on Friday.
Oh, cool.
Yes, so that's going to be awesome. And
I'll make sure I wear a miniskirt so you can see my panties.
Please do. And please make sure you push all of the right buttons that I try and push on Sam on a daily basis.
There you go. So you got to have cleavage and everything, and no bra, TJ.
Never a bra, then I wouldn't be Susie.
Yeah. I wore a bra to work when I was bartending in Malibu one day because I was wearing this really, really see-through shirt. I mean, I thought it was like really inappropriate to be like at a family restaurant during the day. Mm-hmm. And I got booed by my customers. They actually booed me into the bathroom and made me take my bra off.
Really?
Uh-huh.
You know, this world that she lives in, Sam. Uh-huh. This world that she lives in where people boo and then, boom, here comes the bra. What a world to live.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was my livelihood. You know, I've got to make the people happy. And if they want braless Susie, you know, I'm going to give them braless Susie.
Exactly. You see,
unbelievable. Hey, you know, I just want to say that, you know, in defense of Kim, future LA Talk Radio host, potentially, in defense of Kim, the one thing when I came up to Palin was, what I said to her was, how much of this anti-Palin from the women? I said, how much of this is just a broad thing? How much of it is, how much of it is jealousy? And you know what? She did ultimately kind of admit that, yeah, you know what? There's probably a certain element of that from a lot of the women that just, for no particular reason, can't stand the woman. If they scratch a little bit beyond the surface, yeah, she's an attractive woman. She's a powerful woman. Their husband, they know their husbands are looking at the woman going, God damn, she's good looking.
I do her. Yeah. TJ, listen, what I want to, we have to call a guest, but I wanted you call, but if you have time, call back a little later, because you did mention on your show, you announced the death of the McCain campaign, and
I want to know more about that.
Yeah, Susie wanted to know more about it, and I'm sure the listeners would want to know why you feel that way, and you are
a supporter. Yeah, well, you know what, if anything, what's your schedule like? Maybe I'll slide in before you get off the air.
Well, we are going to have guests here, so I don't think that's, we're not going to have another mic for you. But if you want to call back in half an hour or something, TJ, that'd be awesome.
Okay, sure. All right, that works.
Okay, cool.
Love you. Mwah.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, he's the sweetest guy.
He cracks me up, really. It's so weird. I swear, living with my psychic roommate, Sam, I think I'm getting a little bit of this psychicness going on.
Really?
I know, because like just driving down today, I was like, I wonder if TJ's going to be on our show today. Because I like it when he pops in a little bit early and just shows up.
Yeah, I know. That's cool. So, you were thinking about that?
Yeah, I swear I'm psychic.
You must be. All right, well, let's call our guest.
Anthony Rudell?
Rudell. Yeah, is that Rudell, you think,
Rudell
or
Rudell?
Rudell? Yeah. Well, we'll see. We're going to find out soon enough. And this is the author of the book, Hello, Everybody. And he agreed to...
Hello?
Yes, good morning. Mr. Anthony Rudell, is that?
Speaking.
Yes, good morning. This is Sam and Susie from LA Talk Radio
in
Los Angeles. Indeed you are. And are you prepared for this interview? You sound kind of
I'm always prepared.
Oh, wonderful.
Excellent,
okay.
Because
we were scheduled to call you now, so we figured we would.
I'm glad you did.
Wonderful. And where are we calling you at? What state are you in?
I'm in New York City at the moment.
Oh, New York City.
Excellent.
Is that where you grew up, or is that where you do business?
Yes. No, I grew up here, and I still live here.
Oh, wow.
Me too. I'm a New Yorker as well.
Yes, this is a New Yorker.
There you go.
Yeah, you see, half of LA people are from New York, actually. I know you didn't know that.
It's a leap path,
yeah. So, so you're a veteran of radio, of the industry, and we tried to read a little bit of the book, and I was fascinated, and I really wanted to talk to you. So tell us a little bit about the background for the book, how you came to write it, and so forth. And we'll do that sort of brief, because I wanted to ask you some questions about the new wave of radio, and I figured you're probably the most qualified to answer some of these questions.
Well, I'm flattered that you think I'm qualified. I hope I can do it for you. I've gotten to this point now. Everybody's referring to me as a radio veteran because I wrote a book called Hello, Everybody.
Yeah.
I was on the air for 12 years, and I ran radio stations and networks for a total of 16 years. But the word veteran still bothers me, but we'll get over that.
Okay. But maybe it's because you seem so knowledgeable about the history of radio, you know, so you figure,
You asked how the book came about, and it's very funny because a lot of people make the assumption that you just made, which is a logical assumption, that because I was in radio, I wanted to write a book about radio. The actual truth is I was doing research for something completely unrelated to radio, and I came across some information about Rudy Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you guys are out in L.A., and actually the Rudy Valley collection, his archives, are in Thousand Oaks, California. So I was doing some research, and I asked them to send me some material, and they were very gracious and did. And suddenly I realized that there's a whole story to be told about radio and how it got started and what it was about, and nobody had written this story.
Yes.
So that's how I went about writing Hello, Everybody. I went back and looked at all the different kinds of programming. I mean, there are lots of books on the technology of how radio came about and the whole discovery of it. That's fascinating, but no one had written about those first years of what did you put on the air. This was all new to America,
right?
So that's what the book about. That's how it came about,
right? And when do you estimate radio became mainstream? I just told Susie I thought that this was the first form of mass communication. Is that correct?
You are absolutely correct. It was absolutely the first form of mass communication. And the numbers I love to use are: in November of 1920, which was the first time someone tried to do election results on the radio, they estimate KDKA Pittsburgh reported on the election of Harding, and they estimate that between 500 and 1,000 people heard that broadcast.
Wow.
500 and 1,000 total. 12 years later, when Roosevelt beat Hoover in 1932, they estimate that more than 60 million people listened to the radio that
night. Wow.
And this is over how many years?
12.
12 years.
12 years. Wow. Went from 500 people to more than 60 million.
That's unbelievable.
So, you know, it is the fastest growth of any medium, and you're absolutely right to say it was the first mass media. Nobody had ever dealt with that kind of audience level before.
Right.
How to reach more people at one time. I mean, the first time Charles Lindbergh spoke to the nation in June of 1927 was the first time a band had been heard from coast to coast, the same band playing the same music that was heard in New York and in Los Angeles, for example.
Aww.
That's amazing, yeah.
So it was, you know, what we think of as sort of run-of-the-mill stuff that we, you know, take for granted completely.
Right.
Was all discovered in those 12 years. You know, when did it really catch on? When was it really thought of as mainstream? Probably around 1925 was really the turning point,
mm-hmm.
when people suddenly said, hey, this is no longer a hobby. This is an industry. And it took off. I mean, you know, everything was on the air, and I write about that in the book. I mean, there was sports, there was politics, there was religion. I mean, right where you guys are based, there was Amy Temple McPherson, one of the first evangelists on the radio.
Oh, wow. Amazing. Yes. And that's the thing, is that you can do so many different things on the radio as opposed to television. It's really a distinct, there's a distinct difference, I think, between the two. And what I like about radio mainly is that it's an activity that you can do in the background while you're doing something else. So you don't need to take the time out, and it's become sort of a friend to me, you know, to have the radio in the background all the time.
It became a friend to millions. In fact, there was a fascinating survey done at the height of the Depression of Americans, and they asked the question, you know, what would be the last, if you had to give up everything in your home, what would be the last thing you would give up? And more than 50% of the people answered that the last thing they would give up would be their radio.
To this day, I feel the exact same way.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, it connected people in a way that people had never been connected before. It brought different parts of this country together in ways that it had never been brought together before. It introduced New York culture or Chicago culture or Los Angeles culture to different parts of the nation, and it introduced different parts of the nation to the big cities.
Yes.
So, for example, I read an article that in 1923, I think it was, there was a radio station in Fayetteville, Arkansas, that on a particular Saturday night was going to broadcast the Ozark Fiddlers competition. Mm-hmm. And then the radio station in New York said, well, you know what, we'll run it too. And you imagine the people in 1923 in New York, when they're in their diamonds and furs, listening to the Ozarks.
Yes.
It was a very different America.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it brought the whole world together, in a sense.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. Has there been any event in the past 80 years since this became mainstream where there was a big, let's say, a leap forward for radio, where it's changed dramatically in any way, or has it always just evolved? And because it's pretty much similar, I think the content and the contemporary stuff we talk about is a little different, but essentially radio's stayed the same, right, for all this time.
Well, there have been evolutions of things. Your point is valid. In fact, what I point out in the book is that, you know, everything we see in media today or in entertainment today had its roots in the 12 years I write about, between 1920 and 1932. The example I love to use that cracks people up is American Idol.
Right.
We all think of, you know, so many people say, oh, it's a brilliant new concept, what a great idea, you know, people get involved and it's live and they vote. Well, in 1930, there was a guy in New York named Major Bowes who did an amateur talent hour, and the way they picked the winner is people called the studio.
Oh,
whoever
cool.
got more votes won.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, Simon, whatever his name is, who thinks he's such a genius, I got news for you. 75 years ago, they were doing it already.
Oh, really?
Not so original.
Oh, I love it.
But everything we see is there. Everything we see today in sports, the whole idea of color commentary during a sports
mm-hmm.
event,
yes.
that started in 1924.
Oh, wow. So it's still in the same form to this day. That's amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you couldn't have television without what was started back then, and you couldn't have the internet
right.
without what was started back then. So
yeah.
radio was the first great medium of mass culture.
Right. Right. Now, so let's move forward a little bit and, you know, talk about the transition. I mean, obviously radio was at AM and then FM came around and nobody thought that would catch on because nobody has FM radios in cars. And then the next step, I guess, became satellite radio. And now we have internet radio, which is what we do. And, I wanted to know, you know, I mean, are you involved in this a little bit? Do you have any opinions as to where radio is going?
Well, I have lots of opinions on where it's going.
Yeah.
Am I involved with it? Sure. I mean, there are people who call me all the time and say, you know, can you help on this project? And that's what I do.
Right.
I do a lot of consulting in the business still. But I think where it's going is the content is going to become more localized again. I think that people are suddenly realizing the value of local content. I think one of the horrible things that happened was when the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, unwound the limitations on ownership of radio stations.
Right.
It was great for the investors, but horrible for the listeners, because now the person sitting in a city in Des Moines is listening to the same music as somebody in Nashville,
right.
And that may not be what they want, and it's all tested and it's all automated and it's all to save money, whereas the beauty of radio is that ability to connect to the local person, to the local information. There is a place for network, for, you know, reaching across borders.
Right.
And I think what you're going to see is with a lot of radio stations, they're going to go back, there's going to be a local value to them again. I think the kind of thing you do on the internet is terrific. I think mm-hmm. that, you know, that brings people together in a way they may not have been before.
Right.
And certainly, you know, younger users are on the internet. I think that's important.
Yeah.
But you don't, you know, the content is always going to be stuff that interests people. It's that simple. I mean, if you don't have content that interests people, you're lost.
Right.
And, you know, whether it's talk or sports or music or entertainment, it's all based on what people want to hear and what they're going to be involved with.
Yes, and you know,
I think we're... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, you were talking about deregulation and everything, and the thing is that what it has become is sort of like formula radio. You know, they all do sound the same. I feel totally alienated by LA radio, and you know, in other cities I've found things a little different, but you know, you have Jack FM and everything where you can, it's pretty much the same everywhere, and that, and you're right, I think people
it's
are
exactly the same everywhere. Yeah,
yeah, you know, exactly. And I think radio is such an intimate medium that people want to feel something local, something closer to them, so I totally agree with what you're saying.
Well, people do want to feel connected, and the only way to make people feel connected is by giving them something in which they're interested. And the way to do that is with content that is different. What I may be interested in this afternoon in New York is probably different than what you're interested in this afternoon in Los Angeles.
Right.
There is content that we're both interested in. I mean, I'm sure your audience and I are all interested in the political scene.
Right.
Well, that was conquered by radio back in 1924.
Yes.
You know, right. It all goes back to that. I mean, that's what I hope I bring out in the book, is that, you know, nothing we do today is that unique, is that new,
right,
that it wasn't done back then. It's just a question of how it's done. I think the level of discussion, I mean, our discussion's been very civil, but you turn on the TV and you see Bill O'Reilly screaming at people, and you, you know, you wonder,
yes,
where are we going?
Yeah.
That would have never been tolerated back in the 1920s by a host. Radio hosts were there to guide. They weren't there to, you know, to pontificate and have an opinion. And it was only in recent years, where the stakes are so high and media people are stars, not voices, that has changed.
Right.
But I mean, there were some people back then who, you know, who had opinions, and in fact they were challenged sometimes.
Right.
But the level of the debate in the 1920s was far higher than it is today. I can assure you of that.
Wow, that's very interesting. Yeah, and so I just wanted to tell you, did you get a chance to go to the NAB convention last month in Austin?
Honestly, I haven't been to an NAB convention in 11 years.
Oh, wow. Well, I just wanted to bring up the fact that, you know, we're talking about radio and everything, and you know, just based on your book and everything, radio really hasn't changed except for the way it's being delivered now. You know, it's the technology and so forth. And what I saw there is there was the editor, Susie, of Talkers Magazine, okay? And this guy did a seminar on how radio's changing and going online and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And this man got up and he just, you know, he complained to the guy. He says, why are you bad-mouthing radio? And he tells him, he says, I'm not bad-mouthing anything. He says, I'm trying to show you where radio is going. And, you know, and it just occurred to me that these guys are fighting what is happening. So what is happening to radio? I mean, do you think terrestrial radio still doesn't get it, or do you think they're coming around?
Well, I think they're going to be forced to come around.
Right.
You know, I think radio station values are going to drop, because you can't, there isn't a market anymore to own 2,000 radio stations or whatever Clear Channel owns.
Right.
You can't dominate it because of the internet, for one thing, has changed that. I think, you know, the value of the local connection is going to increase. That ability to have content that the local person goes, wow, this is great. You know, I think all that's very important. I don't see that there's a, you know, a big fight in terms of what should be on the air and what's on the air in terms of terrestrial radio. I wish some of these people would go back and read their history, or read my book.
Yeah, there you go. That's what the
and,
book's for.
They'd learn something about how we got to where we are.
Because, right. You
know, the geniuses back then, the Rudy Valleys and the Roxy Rockefellers and the Graham McNamees, who I write about, were visionary. I mean, these people looked into the future. And the best one of all, and this is the irony, is that Herbert Hoover, who was a horrible president but a brilliant Secretary of Commerce, warned America,
right,
about the direction of radio. He warned in his memoirs that you have to realize the pressure and the value and the importance of propaganda. And he viewed any opinion expressed on the radio as propaganda.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, he foresaw in 1928, he foresaw the problems that we're facing today.
Right.
So, you know, again, people knew their history a little bit better, they'd be far better off.
Did you ever come across the name Atwater Kent in doing your research?
Sure. Atwater Kent was a radio manufacturing company, actually.
Actually, his grandson is a friend of mine, Atwater Kent III.
Oh. Really?
Yeah, no, they were one of the... I mean, there were more radio manufacturing companies then than there are now, and, you know, ones we've forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
There are, there was Crossley Radio based in Cincinnati and Westinghouse in Pittsburgh, all built radios, and mm-hmm. Atwater Kent was one of the famous ones. In fact, when I was doing my research, I found a newspaper ad for Atwater Kent radios. So, yes.
Really? Oh, cool.
Wow.
I've always, you know, we go out to dinner and things when I go back home, or back to Boston to visit and things, and I always, like, associate him with radio, but, like, it just never comes up. It's one of those things, you know, it's just like, oh, my grandfather did this, this, and this. Uh-huh. And it's like, yeah, whatever.
It was a major, major manufacturer of radios.
Wow. Absolutely. You see, I never knew that.
Very famous.
That's awesome. Very famous. Yeah. Well, Anthony Rudell.
Actually, if you search old archives, you can see their ads for their radios. It was very cool.
Oh, really? Wow.
That must be fascinating to go back and just dig through all of the history. I'm really kind of jealous that you have such a fun job.
How long did it take to write the book?
2 years.
2 years, wow.
2 years, yeah.
Wow. That's a labor of love, man.
Well, it is. I mean, but it's, you know, the good news is it's getting a lot of good reaction. There have been a lot of very fine reviews, and mm-hmm. people like you are talking to me about it because the radio industry loves radio. And, we more people should go out and buy it. And,
yeah.
I'm sure they can link from your website to Amazon to get it.
We will. We will definitely do that. Do you have any website of your own you would like to plug?
I do. There's AnthonyRudell.com, which is AnthonyRudell, all one word, .com.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, on that website, if you want to have some fun, there's a multimedia page, and you can listen to some old radio from the late 20s and early 30s. It's pretty amazing.
Wow.
Now, how did they archive that from way back then?
Well, there are a lot of shellac discs of old stuff that have been archived, and there's some wonderful collectors in this country who have a lot of material.
Really?
The early 20s, obviously, there's nothing. The mid-20s, there's very, very little. There are a couple of things from around 1927. You get Amos and Andy in 28, 29, and then by 1930, they started to archive stuff. So there's a lot of stuff available.
Yeah.
Especially when you get into the 30s, there's tons of stuff.
That's so amazing.
But you can go to my website and you can buy the book and you can listen to the audio that goes with it. It's very cool.
Yeah. Now, wow, this is amazing. You know, so did they have recording equipment back then?
Well, there were recordings. They were, right. Caruso recorded onto shellac discs, basically.
Oh, I see.
And,
wow.
You know, so what they would do is every now and then someone would do a shellac disc of a radio show and transcribe it. I mean, Amos and Andy actually did transcriptions, they were called back then. They weren't called recordings.
Mm.
They were called transcriptions onto shellac, and that's how they preserved them. But before 1926, 27, there's very little radio.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, please. But as I said, you can go to my website and listen to some of the... and in fact, there's a link on my website to one of the really great audio collections of old radio.
Wonderful, wonderful. So that's AnthonyRudell.com. And, of course, the book is Hello, Everybody. And I know it's on Amazon because I looked it up and stuff. And we'll definitely give you a good review because I love the book. I think it's really...
Well, I love good reviews. So.
Yes.
And I'm going to read it on my plane to New York tomorrow.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It's very, very timely. And,
thank you.
Yeah, and I think it's definitely something to have. And it's going to be right here on our bookshelf in the... in the station. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time and for a great book. And everybody, again, go to AnthonyRudell.com. And okay, all
thank
the best
you so
to
much.
You. Yes, and good luck with the
very
book.
Much. Appreciate your time.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Okay, so that was pretty interesting, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, I love, like, historical things. I mean, not everything, you know, but...
I'm wearing a necklace that's from... It's got the date of 1927 on it right now.
What?
It's my grandmother's. It was given to her... Actually, was it given to her? Yeah, it was given to my grandmother. And because it has my middle initial on it, which is my grandmother's first name, I inherited it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just thinking, I'm like, 1927. Like, I always look at this necklace and I'm like, I can't even imagine back then, like, what life was like.
I know. Because all we can envision is black and white. I mean, there's no color from that time, you know.
And then to imagine, like, radio that's actually been captured, you know, and that we can listen to. I just imagine a lot of static and a lot of just... you know, yeah. like white noise coming through.
I know.
Oh, man.
Wow. And do you remember the, well, we don't remember, it was before we were born, but the incident with the War of the Worlds with Orson Welles?
Yes, yes, yes. When, yes. That was crazy.
That was crazy, you know, but I mean, this here was a program on radio that was at a time when families would gather around in the living room mm-hmm. and listen to the radio, you know, like we do now with TV. And they brought this news, this whole thing of like Martians have invaded and so forth, and had all kinds of sound effects and stuff. And people were believing this.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, this country was so innocent at the time and so naive that people fell for this.
You know, if the same thing were to happen in this day and age and were done like by like a CNN or something, people would believe it too.
Yeah, well, CNN, yeah.
Well, someone could hijack the TV, I don't know. But you know what I mean? Like, it's the same kind of thing. I mean, people relied on this as their source of news.
Right.
And to find out what's going on in the world. You know, and we do the same thing with TV and radio these days. So, I mean, the same thing could happen. I mean, we have not evolved that much as a people.
Yeah, but we're a lot more sophisticated than being skeptical and stuff. I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, we have a phone call. Maybe it's TJ again. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie.
Well, how are you doing, Sam?
Oh, my God. Doug Newsom, you never spoke
hi,
to
Doug.
Him, Susie.
And, well, hi, Susie.
You know, and I just, I've been thinking about you so much lately and wanting to call you, but you can imagine being so friggin' busy, it always escapes me to call you. But, okay, Susie, Doug is really a partner, okay? He helped launch BBS Talk Radio when
cool.
we started. He and his brother have BBS Radio.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so they were really, I mean, they were the inspiration for me, especially Doug, because, you know, He was the one that brought it up, you know, the fact that they had a station and everything. And I thought, wow, you know, this was like so it's obviously changed my life, you know. So we're like brothers, Susie. So
let the man speak.
Yeah, so you can say whatever you – no, well, I had to introduce Doug to everybody. And
the world wouldn't be surprised to know that Sam was doing another job with me, working with another company. Yeah. And he just instantly – I knew he was lots of thoughts run through his mind. He was a great speaker. He had all this energy, but he didn't really give a damn about what he was doing.
Exactly.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh my God. So as soon as he was told the story about PBS Radio, I think instantly you were curious. Instantly you thought there was an opportunity. And I got to tell you, Sam is the only. I've been in business for 20 years.
Hmm.
Nobody, and I mean this, nobody, has impressed me as much as Sam has.
Wow.
And I build large companies.
Yeah, you're making him blush over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, you're giving me goosebumps, man. Cool. That's such a nice thing to say.
Within 30 days, you were up and running. You had a lineup, and you'd literally done it single-handedly. I mean, we helped with ideas and gave him advice. Mm-hmm. But Sam literally single-handedly did it all, and he did it quickly.
Yeah. He is a go-getter. And he's got a lot of energy. I'll give you that.
And I don't know where it comes from, you know.
You're very impressive. And I miss you, Sam.
Thank you. Thank you.
You've got to know this. I've thought about you often. I've been through my tragedies here since I've been to Washington. But
yes.
It's okay. Everything's fine now. In the next few weeks, I'm going to head back down to Paradise. And I'm going to put more energy into building the radio network online, and I want to do more. I want to sit. We got to get together, mm-hmm. Sam.
Yes,
you know. You guys can do lunch.
We got to get together and dream and build big.
Yeah, well, that's how this one worked. So definitely, this last year at about this time, Susie actually, it was like New Year's. Where I went to visit his brother, and that's where this whole thing started, you know.
Ah.
So this is cool. But Doug, you know, the thing is that we have new studios now in Studio City, and it's just amazing. You've got to come and visit us, man. And because we're about to launch another channel soon because our schedule's filling up. And Susie has made the station so friggin' popular that we need more.
Really?
No, she really has. She really has.
I just bring a different kind of listener.
I saw your pictures.
Yeah, you got to meet her.
You are cutie pie.
Oh, yeah.
People tell me I look fat and ugly on the website picture.
Hang on. What's that? What's that, Doug?
I said, brilliant idea, the comic strip.
Oh.
I went through your comic strip, and I thought, you know, what a great way to introduce the host in like a comic sketch. And I thought, brilliant. And I go in there and I'm reading these words that are just words to pictures. And I'm thinking, God, this could have been like a little comic sketch between the two of them. Brilliant idea. And I'm thinking, then I got the last page and I say, at least they ended it perfectly.
Yeah, with bare breasts from this gorgeous chick from Playboy Radio. And yeah, she had like the most beautiful boobs, man. Let me
Your
tell
son
you.
Could not stop staring at
no,
them.
No, and neither
he was
could
obsessed
I.
Obsessed with her. Oh, it was so funny.
Your nice pink, smooth nipples, you know, in perfect shape.
You couldn't see her nipples, they were covered.
No, that picture that Doug is talking about on our comic strip on the website, you actually see her real nipples.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'll have to look closer
no,
at that
no,
one.
No, see, she, Susie's right. What they've done, they put like a Band-Aid that looks like a nipple
no,
over the nipple area.
Yes, they did, but wrong? Except for that one, if you noticed, I wrote...
Oh, there was one picture.
Yes, that I wrote, it's real. You know, and it is, yeah. So you'll have to
I'll,
check
I'll
it out.
I'll have to
again.
Go back and
yeah.
check it out.
Yeah. But at any rate, yes, Susie's very sexy, very sexual, and she's perfect for this show.
Thank you, boys. Thank you, boys.
Great, great radio voice.
Doug, where are you calling from? Did you say Washington?
Yeah, he's in
Washington, right up near the border, right up on the water on the northwest corner.
Yeah, Washington State.
Oh, like practically yeah. Vancouver.
Well, about four. I could get there in about 30 minutes, 35 minutes.
Wow. You're that close to Vancouver? Oh, that's so cool.
It is.
Vancouver's yeah. one of my favorite places.
Yeah.
It's beautiful too. Here. This is the place to live. It's beautiful.
I know. Doug knows nice places to live. And now he's moving to Paradise, which is where his brother lives. That's up in Northern California.
Oh, I thought that was a joke. Like,
yeah,
oh,
no,
I'm moving
no.
to Paradise.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing, is that when I first heard of it, I thought, wow, you know, you live in Paradise, you know, and it's amazing. But there's actually a little very small town called Paradise, and it's just beautiful there, you know. So
wow.
Doug's
really
moving
is.
There now, yeah. And it'll be awesome. And I'm definitely coming to visit you guys over the holidays, man. So
you've yeah. got to.
Yeah.
I hear Donald's... Yeah. Don's got his hair. He's grown it long. It's all the way down to his belly button now.
Really? Yeah, you see his brother Don, when I went there, Susie, you got to hear this.
Are they cute? Are they single?
Who is... Oh, you mean both of them?
Uh-huh.
They're twins, by the way.
Really?
Yes, they
Ooh,
are twins.
Double trouble.
Yes.
Double trouble.
Yeah, they're very handsome. Yeah, they're very handsome.
I always get crossed over for Johnny Depp now with my hair the way it is.
Yeah. Ooh.
A little different.
Are you married?
He's not married. He's on the search.
Wow. Hi.
Hey.
No, Doug is...
I like this show already. I think I'm going to have to come back.
There you go. You see, we're all about interactive, man. And Doug is very handsome, I think. You
Does
know,
he have
and
a job?
His brother. He's got more than a job, okay? Doug is pretty... he's
yeah,
a businessman.
I'm the thinker on the job. I don't know if that constitutes the job, but I got to tell you, the pressure of thinking, when you get older, you can get away with that.
Yeah.
You can say, hey, I'm doing the thinking.
Yeah,
yeah, I see that.
Yeah, wow. But you'll have to visit and visit us sometimes. He lived in L.A. when I met him,
oh.
and he just moved up. He had to be with his parents and stuff, and so now he's ready to move on, you know, and that's awesome, Doug. Please come down and visit us. We'll definitely, Susie will get you one of her beautiful, gorgeous friends, and... And you can
well,
have fun.
I'll be there in 5 minutes.
There you go. There you go, man.
I love you, Sam.
Yeah, I love
I
you too,
you.
Doug. Thank
I'm
you so much for calling.
Being back in your company.
Yes, absolutely, man. And we'll
love
see.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Love your show.
Thank
Gonna
you.
Be
thank
listening
you,
even
you.
More.
Yeah, Doug has been one of. I mean, he's probably our earliest listener from
wow.
day one. And, you know, his mom, who passed away recently, in her last days, she said that she would wake up every morning to our radio show. Of course, when I had my other calls.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's so sweet.
I know.
It's better than all the shows on BBS radio. She found it funny.
Yeah.
All your descriptives.
Yeah, and you know, and yeah, I mean, it was as nasty as this show, you know, but it was such a compliment to hear
oh,
that, you know,
man.
That it's almost like sometimes I felt like I'm getting up in the morning to put on entertainment for her that morning.
Oh, that's
you know?
So sweet.
Yeah.
Well, she's like a Mother Teresa, brought yeah. up well with the manners, the kind, she's German, Austrian born, so you can imagine. It's a contradiction.
For her to be
put
listening,
my mother in front of Sam's radio show, and she loved it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome!
Yeah,
I love that.
It's funny. All right, Doug. Listen, my man. Thank you so much for calling. You're always
pleasure
entertaining.
Pleasure meeting you. Thank you.
Pleasure
Sam.
Meeting you too. I look forward to meeting you in person.
Yes,
and all my best until that point.
Yes, listen, we're going to get porn stars that are hotter and hotter until it's finally hot enough for you to justify coming down here.
You're going to leave paradise and come back to L.A.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right, Doug. All right, Mr. Bye. Okay, Mr. Doug Newsom. I started telling you his brother, Don, he's the one that actually runs the day-to-day on BBS Radio. And so I went to visit him up in Paradise. And the guy works in the basement. And he's the whole time I was there for 3 days on the weekend. He never took off a robe, just like a bathrobe or a house robe, okay? His hair was like to his shoulder with a... With a beard that's not quite grown, you know, because he's got patches on his head. Looked like Jesus Christ to me.
Oh, no, that's hysterical.
I felt, oh, wow, I made the pilgrimage to Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know, so that was cool. But it really wouldn't have been possible. I mean, this radio station would not have been possible had I not run into them.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what were you working on where you did meet them?
I was doing accounting at the time. So Doug was there as part of that company, and I was just a consultant. So we would work together on doing things. And then one day he just mentioned internet radio, and I thought, what? You know, wait a minute. I didn't know there was radio on the internet. You know, so that was pretty cool, you know.
Well, thank you, Doug, for giving me a job.
Yes. So, it's awesome. You want to take a little break?
Yes.
Okay, let's take a break, and we'll be back right after this.
New from Guy Ritchie comes the scent of a failed marriage to an overbearing control freak.
Paranoid.
The perfume for when you feel like Madonna is out to get you.
Paranoid.
A fragrance so strong you'll swear she's coming after you lock, stock, and two smoking barrels.
Paranoid
by Guy Ritchie, for the man who is about to divorce one of the world's most powerful, evil, and vindictive celebrities.
Paranoid.
Available at Walmart.
LATalkRadio.com isn't just an internet address. It's the home of irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk. We say what we want.
Someday if she will walk down this road, she'll be
and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, and we're back. And our first guest is here. Actually, there's supposed to be two at the same time. But that's LA traffic for you. Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning. How's everybody?
We're good.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And this is Jamie.
Hello, hello.
She's got some good energy.
Yes, she does.
I do. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Actually, you seemed so much more reserved the first time I saw you the other day. We were just, maybe because we were talking business and stuff. Who knows?
Yeah, but, and truthfully, I had a headache.
Yeah, and then, is that what it was?
The worst headache.
Really? Mm-hmm. And then I heard you on TJ's show, and you guys were so lively and everything. We thought we'd bring you back.
Like, she really does have a personality. We'll bring her back.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you have a little bit of southern drawl. Is that
a little bit,
true?
Yes. Well, I'm from Maryland, so
South at all.
No, it's not, and it's not a very fun accent. Yeah. But people always guess me for people always say, "Are you from the Midwest?" That's what I get. So I don't know.
I don't know why I got the southern then. Okay,
well, that's okay. I went Maryland, New York, Los Angeles, so I may have a mangling of the three. over time. So yes.
Yeah. So when did you move to New York?
I moved to New York in 1996 from Maryland, and my first love is stage acting, so I did that there, off Broadway and theaters, and just ran around the theaters of New York City.
Cool.
Fabulous.
Wow.
And I did, and then I booked a film, actually, that ended up being out here in Los Angeles, and I didn't find my way back. Well, I sort of went back just to sort of get somebody into my apartment, and the next thing I knew, I was living here. So
isn't it funny how that happens?
Never in a million years did I think that. I thought, you know, I'll go out there and I'll do the film, and then, you know, I just sort of got out here and realized the business opportunities, and, you know, maybe switching from theater to film, and just never went back to New York.
Wow, amazing. Susie's from New York too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. What part?
Yeah. Kind of all over. My dad's in the city, and my mom's in Dutchess County, like Wappingers Falls, Poughkeepsie area.
Yep.
And yeah, so all over.
But and did you grow up in the city?
I grew up pretty much working full time in the city, and then living upstate. I grew up doing TV commercials and modeling.
Good for you! So, yeah, it's a great city.
It is a great city. I'm going back. I'm going to be there Friday morning at 6 a.m. and I'm so excited.
Yeah. Keep your turtleneck.
I'm going to keep my turtleneck. Thank you.
Yeah. Is it pretty cold there now?
It's getting there. It's that time of year. It's gorgeous, kind of like it is here, but you can have a really beautiful day and then wake up the next day and they're like, it's going to be 38.
Wow.
And especially considering like the event that we're going for, you know, I might be out for like 24 hours, so I'm going to just bring a ton of layers.
Oh, cool. What are you doing?
I'm going for a birthday party in upstate New York on Friday, and then I'm going to be back in the city Friday night for a bike event called Bike Kill. It's in Brooklyn. It's one of the biggest bike chaos, debaucherous events, I think, that are out there. There's got to be a lot of bike jousting, a lot of people that just have very creative bicycles put together. It's kind of a violent event, actually.
Really? How is it violent?
Because with the bike jousting, people like try and beat the shit out of each other.
Really?
With the PVC piping.
Oh yeah, okay. I remember you telling me about this. Okay.
It gets pretty vicious, and then like you know, people will like vault. They'll ride their bicycles and try and like vault off, kind of like a seesaw type of thing, and see how far in the air they can get before they crash.
Yeah.
Just all kinds of chaotic things happening. I could show you some YouTube videos, and you'll be like, "Oh my god, my co-host has lost it."
Yeah. You see, Jamie, the things that people do, you know.
I know. I'm just thinking to myself, who has that kind of time? Yeah. You know what I mean? I just don't have that kind of time.
Yeah. My boyfriend's very into it. You know, I'm just going as a spectator.
So I lived in Brooklyn. What part of Brooklyn does this mayhem happen in?
I have no idea.
Huh.
I can get you the information. But
just in case you're in the neighborhood.
I know.
Okay on that.
But yeah, these people do have a lot of time on their hands, and they really dedicate a lot of time to bicycles. And, you know, they're very anti-cars. And then, you know, a lot of them are just bike messengers or people that just want to ride bikes and save the environment.
Right, so. Exactly. My bike got stolen in New York. I wonder if one of the bike mayhem people has it.
Really?
If it went for a good cause, then I'd be fine if one of the jousting boys had it.
For the most part, the people that are in this scene, they don't steal bikes. I mean, they really... They just consider that very wrong and immoral.
Yeah, I figure it's probably some Chinese delivery man at
this
point.
Break into a house and like steal something from... But yeah. They would never steal your bicycle.
Or kill each other, yeah.
It's like a rite of passage.
They'll steal your girlfriend,
taken.
But...
Exactly.
Wow. So what do you do now, Jamie? Are you like an actress now?
I am definitely like an actress out here. It's been a rough year on the creative front. I have the writer's strike was tough.
Right.
We got past that. So
right.
I was doing a lot of... Well, when I first got out here after the film, I sort of jumped back to the stage a little bit, which is huge in L.A.
Yeah.
Just kidding. And so I did stage a little bit, and then I started doing some films, and I'm still working in that area. Film is... I love it. I
really?
Absolutely love independent film. And then, interestingly, with the writer's strike, mm-hmm. everybody kind of sat around a lot.
Right.
So I picked up a microphone and started doing stand-up comedy.
Really?
So that's been really fun and amazing and different. So 08 has really consisted of that
wow.
so far. And sadly, SAG is sort of wavering to strike now. So that's probably
yeah.
a good thing.
Yeah.
So I've been doing a little bit of everything since I've been out here.
Yeah, that's all I've been hearing about all these unions, the strikes and strikes and strikes. Enough of this already.
Well, it's a difficult time because the internet eventually had to catch up with... The internet's going to catch up with everybody.
Yeah.
And eventually, and now it's catching up with, you know, the creative world and
right.
how things are going to be spread out and what happens in that world. And
right.
so, sadly, it's a difficult year, but though I'm not for striking, I think it's important to get them taken care of. Because
right.
the internet's... I love the people's argument that go, well, the internet won't always be around. I'm like, okay, I'm
okay,
sorry.
Okay, hello.
Yeah, welcome to Mars.
Where the
like,
fuck
are you
is it going? Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no, it's pretty much here to stay.
Yeah.
Just going to let you know that.
Yeah.
So I think we should get it straightened out now.
Yeah.
So, yes, tough year. But so, yes, I'm doing films when they're around and a lot of stand-up comedy, which has been a lot of fun.
Nice.
You're
well,
very optimistic about
yeah,
it.
You'll tell us, yeah, well, you'll tell us more about it in a few minutes.
Absolutely.
But I wanted to bring Julia into the show. Into
hey
the discussion.
Y'all.
Welcome.
Good morning.
Nice to see you.
You too.
I like
thank
the
you.
Y'all with like the Texas horn hat.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so sad about like being a few minutes late. I had nowhere to park my horse and being from Texas. Oh, my God.
Really? Is it that bad?
Love, bumper to bumper.
Really?
You know, yeah. But what are you going to do? I mean, I should know better.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so.
Well, you know, I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
But
you
no,
look
you
like
got
you just got off
time.
The tennis court. Are you a tennis player?
I'm a tennis player. Yes, with a very, like, no cartilage knee right
oh,
now.
No.
So I just dress the part and hope that, you know, I get hit on by hunky tennis players.
You know, I do the same thing. I don't play tennis, but I have a ton of tennis outfits because they just look so goddamn cute.
Yeah,
it's true.
They are cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I do know how to play. I'm pretty dang good.
Yeah.
We've got the parking dude who wants keys.
Oh, my God.
Julia, are you just causing havoc?
Thank you so much. I forgot. Sorry, it's my first time in this country.
Yeah. This guy has no problem walking into a studio, you know? I mean, did you notice that?
And I'm an idiot. I just give him my key. Oh, you want my car?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And a big sign on the door that says,
God.
Like, on air, do
not
enter.
Yeah.
But that's not for him because he can't read English,
I was
going to really.
Say. It's,
oh,
his,
Sam.
It's about his
you really
fourth language,
yeah,
you think,
probably,
maybe?
Yeah.
You guys are terrible.
Yeah, definitely not
Sam,
second.
I'm telling
yeah.
you want to be on the good side of these people.
I try.
They have your car.
But
they have your car. I'm telling you, he gets all tiffy with everyone. And I'm like, Sam, you want to just smile and like be like, okay, be nice.
And more importantly, he has my tape of my last psychic reading.
Oh,
so,
no.
I mean, if he listens to like all of my stuff.
He won't understand a word, believe me.
No, and she
won't understand.
It'd
yeah.
be hilarious.
Yeah.
Cut
but
the
Susie,
cards.
Susie, you know, I try to be nice to them, but they make it very difficult to love them. Really difficult.
Sam's not
okay.
feeling the love.
No, love with them.
No love.
No, not at all. I don't know. It is something with me in valet parking. I can't stand those guys, you know? They drive your car like shit. They
yeah.
One time, Sam and I were meeting to discuss the show over lunch, and, you know, he must have called me. He's like, there's no parking around there. He's like, no. And I was like, there's a valet spot in the back. And he's like, I don't do valet. And so then I must have gotten 10 phone calls being like, there's no parking around here. Oh, my God. There's no parking. I was like, valet. Park it in the valet. And he's like, oh, my God.
I
what
love
do they do in my car?
Valet.
Me too.
And I just spent the last 6 years back home in Fort Worth. Oh, my God.
No
they,
valet.
They thought valet was like the French way to pronounce valley. I mean, they did not understand. I'm like, I don't do streets. You know?
Parallel parking, what?
Oh my God. And they're like, it's so L.A. And I go, no, y'all are just, I don't know.
Backwards.
Yeah. Like, you neck and neck with, you know, the bayou.
Oh, no.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Hey.
So, when did you move from Texas to L.A.?
Well, the first time, mm-hmm. Sam... If I can call you Sam.
If that's your real name.
If that's yeah. your real name. We
yeah.
don't know yet.
It's a radio name.
Yeah. Hence the...
It was my first choice for a radio name. Sam.
That's
yeah,
so awesome. Mine was Paul.
Oh,
and
yeah?
I went with Julia because it's on my birth certificate. But anyway.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. The first time I moved out here, like I guess like right around 90-ish, mm-hmm. But I had to go back home for family stuff. So I literally moved back like a year ago.
Really?
So trying to, you know, re-immerse myself back in the biz.
What biz is that? Not porn,
I used to do
right?
Right, no. Okay. I don't know how to do porn. I don't. We're probably that's why three. I'm single. I don't know how to do porn.
We're probably the only three women in Los Angeles that don't know how to do it right now.
Yeah,
apparently.
Sorry.
I do some amateur stuff with my boyfriend.
See, I was going to say, that's why I'm still
Gonzo.
Alone. Rehearsal. I wish maybe that could be, yeah, anyway, whatever. That could be the next pickup line. I do television audience warm-up. I'm a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And was producing talk shows and warming up audiences
television warm audience warm up. That sounds like you're a fluffer.
Yeah, almost.
She is for the audience.
It's
yeah.
almost
a verbal fluffer.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't get it. Okay. That's you know, producing, and I was producing the other half with Dick Clark and Danny Bonaducci and Mario Lopez.
Cool.
That like awesome show. And you know, just Deal or No Deal, just other little shows.
Mm.
Around and trying to do a little bit of stand-up as well and do some on-air hosting. I've had some like hosting or paneling stuff on like Hollywood 411, the TV Guide Network, and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So
that's
whatever.
Cool. Okay. You know. So you're both into show business, obviously,
yep.
like everybody else in this town.
Yeah, a little bit.
And
she's more legitimate than me.
How's that?
She's an actual actress.
I see.
I'm
okay.
not into show business anymore. I like to eat.
Yeah. No kidding. Because that's LA. Yeah.
So eating and showbiz don't go together.
No,
huh?
No. Eating and showbiz don't.
You don't have the normal diet of like air and water?
Nope.
Oh, my God.
Once a month.
And vomiting?
You know what? I've always wanted to be bulimic. I've always wished I could. And I
no,
know that
no.
It's just an awful
anorexia
thing to say.
The way to go.
I just love to eat so much. But bulimia, you know, you get to eat, you get the pleasure of it, and then you just puke it all up, and then you don't gain the weight.
It's awesome.
It sounds like the perfect
and
diet.
And you know what it does to the fucking lining of your stomach?
I know,
there?
And then your teeth rot, and then fall off.
You know what? You can always get
and
a transplant.
Teeth.
Minor details.
Yeah.
You can always get a transplant.
You can
always get a new esophagus.
You can.
Seriously.
Oh, you so can.
To all the children listening to the show.
On eBay.
You know. Trust me. Actually, this is something I meant to ask you earlier. We were talking about like whether the FCC will ever come in and like regulate radio.
Right.
I think we need to have some kind of, like, you know, when you go onto a porn site and it was like, are you 18? Click yes to enter. Click
like
no.
Like a warning?
We need to have some kind of warning on our station.
I used to have a warning, on the Listen Live, like where people go to listen.
Yeah.
And it would say strong language and, you know, adult themes.
Nudity.
And stuff. And then yeah. I thought, what am I?
Complete fucking irresponsibility.
You know, I mean, what am I going to do here? Warn people, it's not up to me. You know, people don't want to listen. Don't listen.
All right,
you know?
All right.
I'm just saying, parenting
getting
starts
valet
at home.
On you.
Yeah, exactly.
You
parenting
know,
starts
parenting
at home.
Starts at home. If yeah. you can't deal with it on the
yes, but kids from the
totally
internet
kidding.
They find this.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, then they're probably on Asian girls in skirts or something.
That's true.
.com.
The children I used to nanny for actually, their mom actually lets them listen to this show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is this somebody we would know?
They're 10 and 12.
Yeah.
No, it's Boston people.
Oh,
even
okay.
worse. Even worse.
Oh, yeah.
Boston. But, you know, it's I think any radio show, I mean, I haven't been around this one long enough, but, you know, any kid watching HBO, which is,
yes.
excuse me, probably a lot of kids are getting quite an education out there.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I used
I
to
love
HBO.
Don't get me wrong.
I used to love it when my parents would leave and I would, like, sneak the HBO on. And they would know I was watching it because they'd come back and the TV would be off and it would be warm.
They'd touch the face
right.
of it.
And I never learned to, like, change the channel to, like, Sesame Street or something
previous,
before.
Yeah.
You know, I just...
Previous channel.
Yeah. I was never really that smart about it.
Yeah.
I was never good at lying either.
I'm the worst
you know,
liar.
Like,
it sucks.
I was pretty good.
That's why, once again, I need another reason. That's another reason I'm alone. I don't lie well. I don't lie well, and I don't do porn.
Yeah.
Right there.
Those are good reasons not to be married.
I'm chalking it up.
Yeah.
Okay. My God.
Yeah, so you can tell us a little bit about that in a second. I just wanted to find out, when did you guys meet and where?
We met at the beginning of the year, of this year. We were in stand-up, basically.
Oh, really?
And we sort of started doing a lot of similar shows and really was, you know, and you hear other people's material, and I just thought that, you know, we sort of clicked and then just really had a great time sort of doing, because, you know, there's open mics around town, and,
right.
and they're fun. Some of them are fun, some of them can be kind of brutal.
Really?
So it's kind of fun to go along together. We sort of had the same schedule, and we could go and do those things, and
right.
then really started sitting down and just, you know, putting ideas past each other and sort of helping each other and just kind of buddied up that way. So
cool. So are you like very close friends now?
Yeah, we're pretty.
Really, like best friends.
We can burn up some cell phone minutes. Don't kid yourself.
we talk a couple. A couple of times a day. Just garbage stuff.
Yeah, really? He's got three talkers in the studio.
Yeah.
Poor Sam.
Yeah. I know.
Little did he know. I'd have brought you a parachute if I did.
Does your wife talk this much?
No, not at all.
Good.
Yeah, she talks.
That's why you married her. Reason number three, I talk too much.
My wife talks a lot.
You need to find a quiet man.
Yeah.
But my mother always said you've got to watch out for the quiet ones. I don't know why.
Because they're serial killers. That's so not true. Oh, it is true. So, he was a quiet man. How many times have you seen that when they go and interview the neighbor? He was a quiet man. He was a quiet man because he was busy chopping up people in the basement.
Good point.
Well, you can't talk when you're chopping up people. I've tried.
I love serial killers.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated with serial killers.
You are.
You're sick.
It is. A little bit.
Fascinating. Anything sexual between you two?
Sexual, no.
No.
I like men. I like men.
No.
Okay. It would be an easier road, but it's just not going to happen.
Isn't lesbianism the new black?
Trust me, it's not.
Is that lesbo lingo?
Is that coming from experience?
Yes.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Oh, you're a lesbian?
No, I used to be.
Oh, yes. Okay, now see, how does that work?
Now we're getting somewhere.
I used to be black. How do you do that?
No, women can get away with it.
Okay, I went to an all-girls boarding school, and before I had ever slept with men, you know, I was just stuck in this lesbian environment where, you know, a lot of the girls were just sleeping with each other, and some were really gay, and some were like me, and they weren't.
Yeah.
We called ourselves, the ones that weren't, we were lugs, lesbians until graduation.
That's awesome. What boarding school, just out of curiosity?
Emma Willard in upstate New York.
Okay. I did the whole private school thing, too.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah, it's a very big deal on the East Coast.
Yes.
And no lesbianism in that one.
Oh, please. Yes.
Yeah, big time.
Well, not big time. I think more college age, more than high school. Yeah. So I wasn't a boarding school, so that's probably that's a different story.
See, I got away from it by the time I got to college. By the time they actually opened the fences and let us out, I was like, cock!
I want a man!
Oh, my God. The first, I guess, experience that I ever had, anybody hitting a woman hitting on me, happened here in Beverly Hills when we were all at a bar, like, and this woman came in. She's, do I know you? And I'm like, I was fresh off the boat, you know, from Texas, and she
could tell
because I was like, literally, I was like, what, you know, because I couldn't hear because I can't hear, and which is why I'm in radio anyway. She goes, yeah, exactly. So I go, what? And she, oh my God, stuck her tongue in my ear.
Nice.
So I freaked out and ran out of the bar and ran smack into that like idiot Grizzly Adams guy, Dan Haggerty. Into his chest. He's like about 7 feet tall. And
well, you got yourself a man.
So I got myself a man. But
you certainly ran into a man.
No.
That was a little freaky for me.
First time I ever did anything lesbian, I was on stage. It was a play that I was doing. Mm. And there was a lesbian scene.
Oh.
And that was the beginning and end of my, which was, it was interesting enough.
Yeah.
Great that 200 people were there to witness it.
Yeah. But no really like inclination to go that way or anything. You guys are satisfied with men.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay. You're trying to be satisfied with men.
I'm trying to, dadgummit.
Yeah.
No, but yes, very strange.
He's being an idiot right now. Sorry.
Yeah. Right now.
There's no way he's
listening. Wait, your man?
Oh, yeah, kind of.
He is being an idiot.
He is being an idiot, yeah.
Mine's an idiot, too.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Now, why is it that women are constantly looking for men? I mean, what is it about that? I mean, it seems like, you know, so many...
Why are men constantly looking for women?
No, but...
Good point.
For sex and...
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so that's what you're looking
for. Well, no, I'm actually looking for marriage.
Okay,
I'm the only fool in LA.
So it's not for the same reason.
Well, you know, you look for marriage, so you can have sex with someone, the same person all the time.
All the time, so I don't have to go
Apparently, you stop
anymore.
Having it, though.
After a while.
Marriage.
I won't.
I won't either.
I will pull his pants down.
Yeah. That's what I have to do these days.
Yeah.
And I thought dating a younger man, you know, I'd be able to get all the sex I want. But no, he's like, no, I want to play around on the internet. And I'm just like, I want sex.
Julia, have you ever been married before?
Nope.
No. So you see, you're fantasizing that, oh yeah, I'm going to make sure, blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you something, okay? If you eat steak, even steak, every day, it gets tired after a while.
That's true.
You know? And,
that's right. You need a really good friend. You need support. You need someone who's going to be there through.
You really
thick and thin.
Do, but still, you're left with the question: who are you going to fuck? You know.
Yeah.
So it's pretty.
Yes, so, I wake up with night sweats over that, Sam. Thank you.
Aww.
like slop sweat. Oh my God, another one bit the dust. Oh wait, it's just a dream.
And Jamie, what about you? Have you been married before?
No, never.
No,
been married.
You haven't. Mm-mm. Wow, so two bachelorettes right here.
The difference is I'm not really dying for it.
Right.
For marriage.
Right.
I would definitely like somebody in my life, but I haven't really been dying to go down the aisle, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I may compromise a tad on that, but I don't believe that I would. I don't know. I think my values are, I don't know.
I'm just glad my parents aren't listening to this right now. I would shack up and be just fine. Yeah. So glad they're at home. I'm sure that's exactly what they planned on. I just would. I think that if two people are together and they stay together and they have to make it work just together, they might put a little more.
Yeah,
I've seen a lot of people get married and get very complacent. Let's put it that way.
But I like that line in Up Close and Personal. I want to make sure that you're legally required to be there. It does something for my heart to know that it's in writing and it was in front of God and everybody and perhaps a judge.
I don't care.
So I don't know.
I don't care. So, Julian, when was the last time you had sex then?
Oh, thanks, Sam.
What? For
God,
what?
God, why don't you just say recently? Why don't you open up a cut and pour like Morton salt in it? Thank
you. Well, yeah, that's what we do here.
Biatch!
He wanted to know. He was asking me earlier. He's like, I wonder if these girls know what they're really walking into.
Okay, the Democratic Convention, right after Obama's speech. I felt like that was a really good time.
Really?
Yeah. He got you hot and bothered?
No. I voted for McCain, so it was revenge sex a little bit. So, no. That really was the last time.
Really?
Yeah.
That wasn't so long ago.
It wasn't so long ago.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's in terms of like a relationship, you know, we got back together and it's only been a few months and now we're like done. So it's like, and before that it was, I was in the Sahara. Okay, like desert.
Listen, I don't even want to hear.
Hi.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Well, you have a golden retriever.
Do you guys have good vibe?
I don't have sex with my golden retriever.
I just meant he's 11. You have a living thing.
He's 11. As if,
oh my God. That's like,
as if the golden retriever were 3, it would make
a
difference.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about the age, you know.
You might kiss him.
You want a hot puppy. That's nice. Okay.
You're both sick puppies.
Thank you.
Right. And you worried about us, and you worried for us, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah.
So that was with the boyfriend that you had before?
Yeah. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
I find good men are just good, like, sex partners to find in L.A. just very difficult. I mean, it was much easier on the East Coast.
That's all I'm saying. Friends with benefits on the East Coast.
Yeah.
I was totally there.
Yes. I mean,
it was awesome.
It's so difficult out here. Everyone's
like, impossible.
They're way too into themselves, I find.
Oh, I think there's so many men out here that are like really one martini away from gay wad.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. It's like your inner metro sex. That's just code for gay. Shut up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, any man that do you agree? I mean, y'all.
I completely agree.
Ugh.
But and then just on that level, you know, they're just so into themselves, and it's just like you can't really find anyone that's just I don't know.
That's real.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, you East Coast girls.
Or like
that's right.
I know. East Coast girls were too much for the West Coast.
Well, y'all are really
seriously.
Down to earth.
Seriously.
Thank God.
But do you think it's the city that makes people that way?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. You know,
because
people
everything's about the business here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because when
everything's
people,
about.
You know, you take the same people, you put them back home on the East Coast, they're different.
Well, the East Coast has, I mean, first of all, it has some of the best, you know, higher education institutions
right.
and our government there, which is not much. A penny's worth of difference from show business to government, but whatever. But you know, there's a mentality there, and there's a very it's not everyone about themselves.
Right.
I mean, I even have to check in as an actress. You know, there are times where, excuse me, I realize that a day's gone by and I'm doing my headshots, working on my submissions, trying to get a film for me, and it's like, what have you done for anyone else?
Yeah.
In 4 days.
That's
like,
true,
stop
yeah.
it. You know what I mean? Like, go do something.
Stop
go
it.
Volunteer somewhere. Just, like, get over yourself. Because
yeah.
you'll just get too, I believe you just get too insane
right.
if you spend all this time focusing on yourself. And everything out here is just this ego-driven business.
Well, because you're the
even
product.
If you're an attorney. Even right. if you're, I mean, everyone somehow works for the business.
Right.
And I think it makes people just fucking weird.
Yeah. And it's really a big town and, you know, everybody's in their cars, so there's no connection mm-hmm. between the people, you know?
I miss the subway.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah,
I know.
So
I hate
people.
Like,
the smell of it, even. Even the smell.
Sorry. Even the smell, I would
even
take.
Even the smell of the subway.
But you're right. I mean, in New York City, we talked about this on TJ's show, and just, you know, you would sit down at night. Like, I sat down on it, never forget it. When I was coming from just a play rehearsal, and I'm sitting next to this man who's got this killer Rolex watch on. You know he's going to some 14-room penthouse in, like, Central Park,
right.
and I'm going to some sleazy bar downtown. But we're sitting right next to each other, and you're forced to be together in this
That's
area,
true.
And
That's
people
true.
Have to interact with other people, whereas you're right, people here get in cars,
yeah.
and they go, like, I turned the wrong way in the supermarket the other day, and I got really close to this woman. I thought she was going to have a stroke.
You bitch.
Really? I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I wanted an orange, and I went down the wrong aisle. I just want to get an orange.
At least she didn't hit you in
the heels.
She
looked at me like, please don't kill me. I'm like, I just want tangerine. I'm all right. You're all right.
I have people run over me in the shopping cart.
True.
In Ralph's. It's like, I'm sorry. Am I invisible? I think I'm the size of a cow. I think you can see me. I mean, God.
That's why so many people date online, too. I just think it's the weirdest thing ever. Did you ever date online?
I'm a member of eHarmony. I did it to get back at my boyfriend. We got in a fight, and I was like, you know what? I'll show you. I'm going to find like a real man out there. But I
for $39.99.
But yeah. I accidentally put down that I was Muslim. And so,
accidentally,
like, I did it drunk one night, and they ask you 2 million questions.
Yeah, they do.
And so, you know, Christian, Muslim, they were right next to each other, and I must have like blinked quickly and like did the wrong thing. So,
grabbed your beer
while I'm out there, like finding a real man. You know, all of a
sudden, Muhammad is texting.
Muhammad, I'm getting all these messages the next day from Pakistan. These men are willing to relocate from other countries to come marry like their little American princess. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, why are no like hot American guys like? And it really took me. It actually took the people that I nanny for. They went through my whole thing to like actually figure out the problem, and they're like, Susie, you are such an idiot.
And let me just throw this at you. Dynamite belt is not a euphemism for penis when it comes from Pakistan. It's the real deal.
It's the real deal.
No, I meant that when I said that, I meant really dynamite. No, you stupid American. No, I mean TNT. Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. But yeah, so I did try it, kind of, but not really
I have
seriously.
Never once, I would never in a million years be interested. I think it's the weirdest thing ever. And so, and that's something else that's very LA. I think it's everywhere, but I think that, you know, out here it's such a big deal, like meeting people online.
I actually met someone on Friendster or MySpace. This was years ago that I actually ended up dating. But we had like a 6-month relationship. It was but we would talk on the phone after a while because like he had this like really like superficial like thing on his profile picture, and it was like, I've got professional headshots, do you? And so I was like,
oh, God,
ooh, you snotty little motherfucker. And so I sent him back and I was like, actually, I do have professional headshots. And it turns out
they don't
get
me anywhere.
He was just joking around about it.
Right.
But so we ended up having like a 6-month long affair, like just talking on the phone. Like I'd wake up in the morning hungover on a Sunday and I'd
phone
call.
Sex?
I would call him. We would never have phone sex, but it was like, let's have breakfast in bed. And we would both make breakfast and we would both be in bed and we would just eat our breakfast together until one day he was like, I want to have breakfast and I want to have breakfast with you. And I was like, all right, like, what are you going to cook? And he's like, no, I want to have it with you. And so we ended up meeting that day. We ended up dating for like 6 months, and he's now a really good friend of mine.
Oh, very
that's
cool.
Good.
Yeah.
So there's one good story that comes out of
well,
it.
Well, there's another one. I got married through someone I met online.
J-Date. Good old J-Date.
Yeah. Did you really?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
I
you guys are sort of turning me around here.
J-Date.
J-Date.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
My God.
No, and
can I do it as a Gentile?
Yes.
That was actually
that's
her?
I want to know.
Yeah. Of course.
Was it actually her, or did you meet someone through someone on J-Date?
No.
It was the
I
physical online thing.
Yes, yes.
Well, congratulations.
And thank you very much. And what I'm here to say, though, is that, look, I've very had a couple cool. of, like, dates that were not great.
Sure,
okay?
I'm sure.
But I mean, it's part of this. But the thing is, I don't think online should be any different than, let's say, a blind date or if you fixed up with someone. In fact, it's better because you find out more about the person.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, it's not about doing it online. It's just finding the person online, and then you take it
and
to
then
the
you
phone.
Take it to the next level.
Yeah, you take it to the phone, you take it to meeting them, and that sort of
with
thing.
With times
you know,
being a little bit hard financially right now, I'm actually thinking, my boyfriend's in New York and I'm here, so what I'm actually thinking of doing is, you know, starting the internet dating again and just arranging like a meal schedule for like lunches and dinners.
Exactly.
Because she likes to eat. Because
like
to thing.
I like to eat, you know, and I like meeting different people.
Yeah.
I can arrange
so
like a lunch
meals.
Date and a dinner date every night of the week and
you
cut
rock.
My grocery bills. Like,
there you go.
Uh-huh.
You see, she
That's
knows what
awesome.
She has. She knows how to use everything that she has. Every inch of that body, she knows how to use it.
Exactly. Oh, she's going to utilize it.
Reason
and I
number
don't want to promote bad habits, but I'm just saying, whatever happened to good old-fashioned bars?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing more fun than like hanging out with a bunch of friends and going somewhere, and then you meet this really cool guy, and you get to also have that physical, like, when you know that you're attracted to someone.
Well, so you
That's
can
what
have
I feel
that.
Like,
I mean,
oh,
way?
I do that.
Yeah, okay. So.
I don't want to meet anybody in a bar.
I stay home with a box of wine.
I don't know why. I just don't.
What do you want to do?
I stay home with a box of wine every night.
I love
you.
You
go, girl.
Box wine. Oh, my God.
Franzia?
I actually saw a woman walking out of Rite Aid, like, double-barrel-ly knit.
That's where I get it. I get mine at Rite Aid.
She acted like it was like
honey, I gotta
she's
turn you
bench
a better
pressing
wine.
The wine.
Oh no, trust me, I've had my Opus days, but I'm very poor right now.
That's okay.
So it's Two Buck Chuck or box
the
wine.
The hell is
so.
Opus?
Two Buck Chuck, I gotta tell you, Opus is very good wine. We'll talk about
it?
That later.
Okay, sorry.
It's the most highly allocated wine in the country.
Does it come with a straw?
I had no,
and it doesn't. It comes for about $1,200 a bottle.
I would. I could snort that.
Three
oh, that
acts.
Opus.
Opus. Oh, that yeah. Opus.
Oh, that
no,
Opus.
It's not a dumb guy she dated. It's actually
yeah.
A
I thought it was. I thought it was a cartoon character. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Not by yes. Much.
So, Jamie, what about you? You seem pretty sexual. When was the last time you had sex?
Are you kidding me?
Really?
I've actually had some fool around sessions in 08, but I've had absolutely no sex in 08.
Really?
Wow.
Are you,
wow.
Excuse She's me, in 08? In 08.
And look, it's October.
Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, the Texas yeah. Christian is a bigger whore yeah. Than...
Well, you know what?
She's a Christian. She goes to church and I don't. Look at me.
Yeah.
Maybe so, church.
I'm hoping to meet guys. I just can't do the one night stand. I mean, I certainly had offers.
Church yeah. And AA
I'm
meetings
sure,
in LA
really
might be good places
you know?
To find men.
Church, so, Sunday
church
school,
and AA,
I don't know.
Apparently.
What uh-oh. I do. Thank you.
Don't touch it.
Don't
Jesus don't Christ.
Stop it.
So no, I just I just haven't, you know, I believe me, I've had offers.
I'm sure.
God damn this
thing.
But
practical
but I you know, the whole anonymous weird random sex thing. No. I would love to say that I could do that.
Yeah,
I
but aren't
I
you going out of
either.
Your mind? Sometimes?
No, well, listen, I've got a good vibrator.
No, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure you do, but it would get lonely after 10 months in 08 of not having a
well,
warm body.
Well, I have a very interesting situation
she's got
going
a golden
on.
Retriever.
God, I hope nobody's listening to the show
I
right
hope
now.
Not either.
Everybody's
listening.
Have you
listening.
Told anybody?
She said
have
she
I
has a golden
anybody?
Retriever.
Have you told anybody in your
oh,
circle?
The golden retriever.
She said she has a 12.
Oh, Alex! That was just, He's that so was a cute. Companion. That's not necessarily.
Well, what I've been doing is sort of this... We I won't mention names, but I have this sort of ex that's been hanging
Alex?
Around. And
I see. So
now Alex is actually smarter than my ex.
So he's yeah, a booty
we'll,
call now.
We'll call him Alex.
No,
for the
we haven't done that.
Of the show.
Wait, Julia, wait.
So
we can't all talk at the same time.
No, I was adding.
I mean,
sorry.
That's what you get with putting three women in the same room. You
yeah,
know,
it's true.
It's like oh, yeah. Okay.
It's
anyway,
very true.
All right. Yeah, let's try to take turns because we're talking
right.
Across.
Everyone, raise your hand.
Okay.
Everyone, raise your
Jamie. So no, I just I have sort of a ceremonial love dance. Going on this year with an ex, so mm-hmm. I don't really know. I haven't been focused very much on dating. So, and just you know, I've been working a lot. So, I mean, for me, yes, yeah. No, I'm not really going out of my mind. I'm not really that
no.
Kind of person.
But I
so.
Bet you'd be so hot. Whoever has sex with you right now, man, you're gonna devour the fucker. You
probably.
Know? Yeah, I
she's
mean,
gonna
wow.
Explode.
Yeah.
Probably somebody's gonna have a really good time.
Yeah.
Bring your umbrella.
I don't know what your name is yet. So no, I've been not this year. It's not been a very good love year.
You see, but that's the thing. If women were a little more free, then there'd be more sex in the world.
I think these women are
and
pretty free.
No, but I mean, she says she's not into the one night stand and stuff, but she could have a lot more sex.
I just don't like it.
Yeah,
it doesn't. But see, you have to. If
it's
you're
because you're
do
from
that,
Maryland.
You have to come out of it the next day going, "That was awesome," and
right.
I've had them and come out going, "I'm more confused than going in. I
right.
Shouldn't have done
right.
that. I don't know how I feel about
yeah.
it." I'm
but,
just the
but
kind of person.
But let's say after the second or third time, without actually going into a relationship, you know. So let's
well,
say
if you're talking the same person, that's one thing.
Right.
But I wouldn't do different people.
See, I don't like. I don't
I'm not
like
having
one
sex
night
with a whole bunch of different
because
people. I'm just not.
You know what I mean? Like you have.
I don't
sex,
want a disease.
And I like. You know what I mean? I like to practice with one person and get really comfortable with one person. That way, you can really kind of experiment and go totally crazy. It's like
right.
I've done the one night stand thing too, and it's like you just never. I never feel that you
I've
just,
had
you
one.
Quite hit it
in
like,
my
whole
exactly.
life.
I did one night stand in New York City right after I broke up with my ex of a long time.
Uh-huh.
One drunk one night stand in New York City. Full on, getting in a cab at 6 o'clock in the morning. Like, what did I just
your
do?
Your mascara's all
saw
over your
him
face.
4 years later in Los Angeles in Whole Foods.
Really?
Oh.
In the prepared food section.
What did you say?
I didn't recognize him at first because I thought because you do so many acting classes and I thought, how do I know? I think he was in one of my acting classes
oh,
and
no.
He turned to say something to one of his friends and as soon as he started to talk, I was like. Oh shit! I dropped everything
did
and ran
you?
Like hell out of Whole Foods.
Really?
No, he didn't
good.
Recognize me, except for the 7 months later that he was in the restaurant where I worked.
Ew.
And then he kept looking at me, and I was like, "Oh,
wow,
no.
You guys are destined to be together."
Oh,
God. I don't think so.
Why a one night stand? I can't shake the guy. You know what I mean? Like, what are the odds?
You move across the country for God's sake.
Seriously.
Yeah.
He followed
so,
you.
But I would do, like, you were talking about East Coast. Like, I definitely had a Friends with Benefits one guy that we just really, it just totally clicked. But, you know, out here, I just so far haven't
Yeah.
Felt comfortable.
It's hard,
doing
but
that.
But don't give up. You know, I mean, keep looking. Don't use Craigslist. That's for sure the worst place.
I'm not going
to look for places.
I went on the Lonely Encounters thing the other night. I was up all night and I couldn't fall. I woke up at 2 a.m. I couldn't fall back asleep.
I hate that.
And I was like, all right, what the hell should I do? I masturbated. Okay, I masturbated again. Still can't fall asleep. So I went on like the Lonely Encounters and I was just like reading all the random
What's
random
Lonely
posts.
Encounters?
It's not called Lonely Encounters. I don't remember exactly what it's called, but it's like, are you up late at night? Do you want some fun? I mean, you just read like the most horrible things.
Is that on Craigslist?
Yes.
Oh, like Casual Encounters.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, obviously, I wasn't going to do anything, but I was just like, I'm lonely.
It's all whores. I think
I would put a gun in my mouth. Yeah. I'm serious. Yeah. I don't know if I can handle that.
No, but it's seriously entertaining. If you should always, you should check it out sometime.
It's not really depressing.
Some of them, it's kind of sad. One girl was like, I'm so broke. I'm a college student. You know, $300 an hour. And then I was like,
where are your parents? Yeah.
I
You're
know,
punished.
I know.
Yeah. And you know,
have you ever heard of student loans?
Yeah. And you think about it. These are regular people, you know?
I mean, can you imagine
if you're like a whore or something and your friends don't know? You know, I mean, it's kind of weird, you know, I think it is.
Thanks for exposing me,
Sam.
It's
the secret lives that all kinds of people read.
Yeah,
like, seriously, it's fascinating. Check it out sometime. Okay. If you're ever awake at night and lonely.
That's definitely what the internet breeds as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, people can hide behind their computers and, I'm sorry, that just freaks me.
Everybody from all over the world runs from something to this city.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that are under the radar. Not to be paranoid or anything, but I mean, there's, you know, like I once had a guy, a producer friend, tell me that he specifically got business cards made up with like just made up crap.
Oh,
so
sure.
He could get, I mean, it's like.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's only the beginning, you know.
Wow.
Nice. And I fell for it. No, I'm kidding.
So let's talk a little bit about your upcoming show.
Okay.
You both are going to start doing a show here on Mondays, right? This coming Monday you're going
to
start?
4 to 5.
Yes, sir.
4 to 5, woo-hoo. That's right. And what's the name of the show?
Jules and James.
Jules and James.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's Julia and Jamie.
Yeah.
That's a cool name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Jesse James type of a thing.
Jules and James, I like it.
Yeah. Like,
It's like Sam and Susie, you know, just it goes.
Yeah. It goes.
Yeah. It works.
Yeah, it does. Jules and James. Okay. So what is the show going to be about? What can we expect?
Well, it's a little bit like The View meets we have some political
Chelsea
stuff
Handler.
Too, but a little bit way irreverent, but it's like the View divided by two, because we're kind of like opposites in terms of political. I think we agree more socially on social issues maybe than political, but just bantering around like water cooler, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just our unique take. Mm-hmm. In terms of like the whole East Coast thing that y'all have got going on. I mean, people with actual, like women with actual values and standards, you know, that might be kind of an interesting concept.
What about women issues as well and stuff like that?
Yeah, a little bit.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I just think it's interesting to have two women. I think it's interesting to have people and sort of reach out is that, you know, we are so opposite in so many ways.
Right.
And, you know, it's interesting now even to, and this show sort of, the idea of it came, whereas just in watching the news and people like being either Democrat or Republican, like they are just holding on to this and like being so awful to the other party and just like, I'm just seeing such, and it's great that people are, you know,
passionate
about politics, but it's also something interesting where the two of us being, I mean, you know, we have, you know, age difference between us. We have where we grew up in different, you know, places. We grew up, you know, we have such a polar opposite, and yet there are so many things that we can come together on.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think it would be interesting to come, you know, from that point of view.
Yeah.
Especially being two women. You know, it's just, you know, it's one of the women's issues that we've been discussing lately for the show is women are awful to other women.
Awful.
Oh,
awful
man.
To other women.
Awful.
Yeah. And
we would rule the world.
It's just so interesting to kind of, you know, discuss that and talk about it and see sort of just some, I just think that there's some touchy, interesting topics that she and I would like to really dive into and start talking about.
But politically, you're apart.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Julia, what are you pretty much?
Texas Republican.
Republican, There she goes. She probably loves George Bush, right?
I do.
Yeah, you see,
God damn it,
you're the only one.
Ronald Reagan.
I voted for Bush.
You did?
I did.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Just, but you know, what I like is that, people.
Well, and I'm liberal completely on the other side of it. And so, but it's, I would prefer to, and I like the idea of intelligent people sitting down and talking about why they voted for different people,
right,
instead of instantly. I mean, people instantly hate people now if they see a McCain on the lawn or they see an Obama on a car.
Oh,
and it's, I don't think, I think people are losing sight.
I was thinking the exact same thing the other day. I was driving down Sunset and I saw this house that had McCain, like all across the front lawn.
Oh.
And I was like, those people, you know, I believe it or not, I haven't decided who I'm voting for. And it's
fair enough.
It's kind of got me, it's very perplexing in my own head. But I mean, I felt like, I was like, those people have balls putting those McCain signs like on their lawn. Like, aren't they afraid that people are going to come and like, you know, like vandalize their house?
Yeah,
or absolutely. Or their fence?
But let's go back in time. What I find fascinating is that no matter what, I mean, you know, Obama's been accused of being a Muslim and he's been accused of all this terrorist stuff, but America didn't, has not, anyone who was against him has not hated him as much as Hillary Clinton was hated.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something very fascinating about women in this country and still where they are.
Yeah.
I voted for Hillary in New York.
Women against her. I mean, sure. I was hearing things like, she looks like a hag.
And Sarah
she
Palin,
looks old,
the opposite.
She looks disgusting. And it's like, why are we so vicious about this whole, I mean, it's just fascinating to me.
That's interesting, very interesting. So, wait a minute. I'm fascinated with this Bush love that you've got here, okay?
I mean, and we're off.
Let me ask you. Okay, he's been in... Okay, do you think after 8 years we're better off or worse off than when
this,
he came to power?
This is my bellwether and bottom line for George Bush.
Right.
Whether you agree with it or not,
Probably won't. Go ahead.
Okay. My bottom line is if we have terrorist attacks, it's really not going to matter what the market does.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as I'm safe, then let's go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We've been safe now and they have like chronicled the attacks that they've stopped in this administration, including the Brooklyn Bridge,
but you'd expect,
and because
them
of
to.
The Patriot Act, no, the Patriot Act that everybody was against, we got to wiretap into terrorist cell phones, and we stopped the Brooklyn Bridge blow up before it happened,
right?
Because of the Patriot Act that everybody is opposed to.
But that does not make him a good president.
Well, it kind of
does. Makes one aspect.
I mean, it does. It kind of. I mean, I'm just saying, Sam. That's where I start.
Think,
that's my bottom line. Now the rest of it. Maybe there were some mistakes made. Yes.
Some mistakes. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Right. I know. I'm not pro-war, but I will, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the man bankrupted the country just like he did his companies that he had before.
He had oil
companies and stuff.
Are you sure he didn't have, a little help from Congress? Are you going to really blame him?
Yes.
Why?
Yes, I am. Because he does want to take all the credit for the achievements, right? So let him take all the responsibility well, you know?
Where did he say
that, what do you mean?
Where did he say, I want to take all the credit for, I mean, where?
Well, he does all the time. I mean, he does
where?
All the time.
I don't
really
see him saying
like,
that.
We won. We won the Iraq War, blah, blah, blah.
The
you
surge
know.
Worked.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
Yeah. He said the economy is not in a problem in trouble until later.
Well, he
on,
did say that. I've got an argument on that one, and I understand what you're saying, and technically y'all really do have a point.
Mm.
What I'm saying, though, and I'm backing up McCain in this, too, because they were in the same tank on this, is when you go back in history,
mm-hmm.
and you see our depression, and you understand the psychology, excuse me, beyond the economy.
Right.
If you keep buying into, we're screwed, we're screwed, we're screwed, you keep going more into the tank. It's a massive psychology behind it as
right.
well.
Right.
When you come out and go, look, I believe in the American spirit, I believe in the American people, that jacks you up psychologically.
Right.
And yes, there's no doubt like what's going on.
Yeah.
With
it's
the
like
market,
being on a losing team and having the coach be like, all right, they suck, why even bother practicing,
right.
you know?
Right. But as far as I think, to be honest with you, I think all politicians are out of touch.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well,
they don't even pump their own gas.
But you know what? That's the one thing
don't.
About Republicans and conservatives.
Sarah Palin does.
You guys, no matter what, you'll never waver as long as you're committed to the party. You know,
it's not like, necessarily.
You're not willing to sit there and
examine
Bush.
I voted for Ross Perot.
Bush.
I have voted for Dianne Feinstein.
Yeah, but Bush,
I have voted for Boxer.
But anybody,
so, no.
you know, only if you lived under a rock would you say that Bush actually helped this country. I mean, his ratings are the lowest of any president.
But I just told you what my
you know,
bellwether was. I didn't say his whole presidency. I said he has kept us safe. That is what I care about the most. That is my biggest issue, is it not?
Yes.
Jamie?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've told all
you
my
friends.
You
want to be safe.
Okay. I want to be safe.
Right. And you think the Democrats wouldn't have been able to do that?
No, I do not.
Oh, okay.
No,
well,
I don't.
Right.
I think they are, I think they have a softer outlook I think they don't understand evil.
Their priorities are definitely
different. I really don't. I mean, now let's see what happens when Obama gets in. Let's see. Yeah. I'll change.
You said when he gets in, so you're giving up on McCain?
Please.
You know
I'm voting for McCain, but come on.
But it is Obama, right?
I think Obama's going to win. Yeah. I think it is. Yeah. I don't think the polls are that. I just think,
you know what? I think the country wants it. The country has had enough of Republicans for so many years. You know, we need to change a little bit. And I mean, I'm not crazy about him, but it always ends up that in every election, you end up voting for the lesser of two evils rather than to vote and say, I really want this guy in office.
I know. It's been a long time.
Yeah. I know a lot of people that really do want Obama, though.
Yeah.
People that are fanatical.
Oh, no. Yeah. Definitely.
Well, that's what scares me. I literally looked at these four bozos, you know, the other night, and I was like, is this seriously the best we got?
Yeah.
I mean, no offense. I'm like, are you kidding me?
With Kerry, too. You know, when Kerry won, he was not the best by any stretch of the Democratic Party.
No.
So how does this
happen?
It was a shame, you know?
It was a shame because I did not believe he could lead. And that doesn't mean that's not Democrat or Republican. You do have to look at someone and say, because, you know, even in my opinion, Obama being young and they're like, oh, he doesn't have the experience, I still believe he can do it. Yeah. I think he has a lot more than John Kerry ever had. And it's hard to explain, but you watch people and how they carry themselves.
Yeah. You see, my dream elections, like a year ago, I really was convinced that it would be Hillary and Giuliani.
And
that would have been such an exciting election.
I think I agree with you.
You know, it really
would, because
they have charisma, they've proved themselves and everything, and somehow both of them lost in the primaries, you know? And I don't understand that. We always end up with trash.
I think Giuliani, I don't want to say, I mean, because I don't know his people and I'm not in the process, but I have a gut that he sabotaged and pulled the plug on that because of what was going to come out. I think he's got some skeletons.
You think so?
I like him a lot. Yeah. But I think for president, I think he would have... It would have been kaboom.
Really?
He and his wife having six marriages between them?
Yeah. That might have done it.
Whoops!
Yeah.
Minor detail.
And I think Hillary had some baggage that was probably... And I think, you know, Big Bad Bill...
Bill definitely didn't help Hillary. This country's not ready for a woman.
Yeah.
This country is not ready for a woman. And I'm a woman saying it, and it makes me so sad. But this country is not ready for a woman.
Yeah. Well, apparently we're all ready for a black man, so that's good.
But
he's still a man.
Yeah, that's true.
More important is a man.
And he's only half black.
I don't blame men when I say that.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of women out there that think that women can't lead yet.
I've always felt if women ran the world, we'd be a lot better off, I think.
No, you're nice.
Yeah, I think maybe more
catfights. I think a nice mixture
of
it would be fabulous.
Yeah.
I think a man and a woman together. I mean, if that's what we say marriage is, and that's what we
McCain
love about.
McCain and Palin.
You know what I mean? You know, if there was a president and a vice president, or vice versa, man woman. I mean, there's a beautiful nature to that, to masculine and feminine. And I think it would be a great idea.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just we just can't get
hasn't happened yet.
Can't get America's mind around it.
No.
And women have ruled other countries.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for years.
I mean, Golda Meir is one of my, heroes.
Oh, yeah, frankly. Yeah, and Indira Gandhi.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's, Margaret Thatcher.
Oh, totally.
Love her.
You know?
Yeah.
So definitely.
Love her hair. Her hair could kill people.
Yeah, did you see how old she is now? She's so frail now, you know?
Yeah, I know.
It's so unfortunate. You know, you see all these people. The same with Ronald Reagan, you know. We saw him.
Yeah.
He was vibrant and everything and energetic, and then you see him sort of, like, just diminishing, you know.
Right.
Really tough way
for
him, yes.
I would so dig him up and prop him up and make him run again. I swear, if we could get into cryogenics or whatever that thing
is, hysterical.
I would so dig him up. Oh, my
prop
God. I would. And, like, you know, put my hand up his, you know, esophagus and go, blah, 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 blah.
Like we kids as
birdies. I'd be like, remember me. And, yes, I love you.
I think I just peed my pants.
I'm sorry. That's a lot. I think I was excited about George W. the first term, but I have never been more excited about voting for anybody as I was for Ronald Reagan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people loved him, you know, and but even with Clinton, you know, you may not admit this, but a lot of people loved Clinton.
Oh, I agree.
Goodness.
Really, really.
Oh, gosh,
not only this country, but around the world. Oh,
I worked with his brother.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Doing what?
I worked on Designing Women a long time ago.
Oh, really?
And I did audience warm-up in The Little Brother.
I still can't get over audience warm-up.
I
just imagine you out there warming everybody up.
Well, you know, there's, you know, beyond the circus tricks, there's stuff to it. But anyway, No, and Roger, I will never forget this. I guess I can't get sued by saying this on the air, but my mother sent me an article out of USA Today, and it was right after Roger Clinton. They sprung Roger from federal prison because his own brother put him in prison for drug running across state lines. So they sprung him. He got out, and they sent him out here, which is where everybody else comes, and they put him on the show with Harry and Linda Bloodworth Thomason, you know, designing women. And mother put a post-it on that, and she goes, "Julia, be careful. Love, mother." Okay. And so Roger and I became drinking buddies and running between Evening Shade and Designing Women. And the last time I spoke to him was when Jennifer Flowers had her press conference.
I bet you did.
Hi, Roger. How's it going?
I liked George Sr. as president.
You did?
I didn't think. Oh, I thought he had great international relations. I think that you know, between the two, as far as that's concerned, I thought he was. I mean, certainly, I think every president makes their fair share of mistakes. But you know, even being a Democrat, I thought for his 4 years, I think he did a lot better of a job than his son did.
Really? Oh well, I don't know. For me, it was a downer after Reagan and everything.
You know,
but you know, I mean, I guess he was okay. I don't know what the hell.
I didn't like George Senior, Ross Perot, and Bill Clinton. Do y'all remember that debate?
Yes.
That's when I decided I was going to vote for Ross Perot. Because George Sr. looked at his watch. Bill Clinton was just an idiot, in my opinion. And Ross Perot, although he's deranged, at least he's run companies and he's made a gazillion dollars.
I have to just make a comment about Ross Perot. He's best friends with one of my friend from boarding school's fathers. And so I was out in Vail and I was actually skiing with Ross Perot and I was in the chairlift going up with him. And he's got a helmet on, you know, and he's got like this like red sock thing over his helmet and his goggles. And so he's like looking like this big bobblehead. And so it was, you know, right after Christmas, and he was telling me about his Christmas with his kids, and I was just like, okay, cool, like, what'd you get? And he's like, my kids gave me a camel. And I was like, your kids gave you a camel for Christmas? And he's like, I don't know what to do with it. He's like, I don't know how to take care of it, because I was telling him about my love for animals. And so he actually invited me to move to Texas and take care of his camel.
Wow.
And be like,
that's
his personal
awesome.
Camel taker.
Do you know what that was? I remember it was in the Neiman Marcus catalog, Christmas catalog. I'm not kidding you. There was a camel in the Neiman Marcus Christmas
no
catalog.
Way,
I'm sorry,
really?
That's weird.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, there's
a
also
camel?
Been an...
They're mean.
It's been
I know.
A, yeah.
Well, I don't know how to take care of a camel. I have no interest in them, you know, well, except for a camel toe. That's the only interest.
Yeah, exactly. Camel toes.
I think if Obama gets elected, all we have to do is wait, and the people will come over here and take care of the camel.
Yeah.
So, good point. Good point.
Is that racist? I didn't mean that racist. I meant it.
That's
terrorist.
Okay. You can be racist here.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of I think 99% of the people are racist. They just don't
ist.
Let on. Yeah.
They don't let. Yeah. It's an ist.
It's an ist.
It's an ist.
It was one of the ists.
Exactly. Elitist terrorist. Oh, what would that be?
Yeah.
I want my dynamite belt from Neiman's because it sparkles.
Oh my god, with the pave diamonds.
Uh huh. And my burqa really is so cute. God.
Oh my god.
Burqa is the new black.
All right. Well, quickly, we only have a couple of minutes. Julia, first time you had sex, what age?
Oh, shut up.
Okay.
What
no,
is this?
It's really interesting.
Okay, late. I was a virgin for a very long time.
Really?
I was 25 or 26.
Nah.
Good for you.
Swear to God.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What'd you do all that time?
I was trying to be a good Christian girl.
Heavy petting.
Oh,
yeah.
So you grew up
oh,
in
yeah,
a...
Oh, yeah. I fooled around, but I never had sex.
Okay,
really?
hold on.
You grew
so
up in a Christian...
Had you given a blowjob?
Never. Are you kidding? No.
Do you consider giving a blowjob sex? Like,
yes.
If you had never had intercourse, but you had given a blowjob, would you no longer be a virgin?
Oh, no. Technically,
you still be a virgin.
It doesn't matter. So you didn't have penetration or intercourse, but you had everything else.
I think it's very intimate.
It's
very intimate. I think you're sexual at that point.
Yeah.
But I still believe that losing virginity is still the very traditional way of losing virginity.
I agree with you.
Yeah. If you want to test,
Sam,
to
and
see
I got
what,
into this the other day, so I just had to get some more opinions.
If you're not sure about it, all you have to do is find out how your mate would respond to if you did that. Okay.
So oh, well, you can't do it if I'm with you. You can't do it with somebody else. I hit a boyfriend in the stomach.
Okay,
for
so
doing
it is sex. I mean, it's sex. That's all I'm saying. If
you hit
okay,
a boyfriend.
If, I did.
Susie,
I
let
him.
Me ask you this. Would you be bothered if Hans had his.
Franz.
I'm sorry, I keep calling him
my
Hans.
My boyfriend's name is Franz.
I've been calling him Hans today.
I call him the Franz.
You
the
know
Franz.
Why, though?
Oh.
They used to have on Saturday Night Live. I don't know if you remember that, Hans and Franz.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
We're going to pump.
They sort of did like a...
His uncle is Hans and Fritz. Hans, Fritz, and Franz.
Oh, yeah. My God. This is hysterical. Where is he from?
Upstate New York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was hoping
so, you'd anyway, say but if Franz had his penis sucked by another woman, how would you react?
Wow, you was put it good? So eloquently.
That's how you'd react. You wouldn't mind?
He's had his penis sucked by other women, but I've also been off having my own threesomes.
Okay, so that's how you pay off for this. But why? Because you feel he did something that you don't like and you're getting back at him.
No, I feel that my boyfriend's in New York and I want some action.
Okay. So,
oh, my God!
So in a, but wait a minute. No, 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 no. Wait a minute.
No, what, I know, I know, okay. I know. I
you know be, what I'm saying,
I would
right?
Be, I would be very upset.
It is sick.
But I would be less upset than if he had gone and fucked the girl.
Okay, whatever. It doesn't really matter, I don't think.
You
it does.
Would be? I, oh, would, I think it all matters. I would totally like...
I would still be very upset, but I would be less upset if he just got, you know, a blowjob from the girl than if he had been shtupped.
You would.
Yeah.
It makes a
difference.
So sex would be a bigger deal to
sex
you than
sex would
a
be a bigger deal to me.
Well,
I think it's all a deal breaker. It's,
I agree.
It's a deal breaker. Yeah.
We just have
just,
a very messed up relationship. But
yeah. I'm very violent about it, too, apparently.
I get violent, so, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just...
He punched him in the stomach.
Well, I told him.
I go for the hair.
He like a moron, told me, confessed, and I was like, get away from me, get away from me, get away from me. Quit coming towards me. Finally, I was up against the wall, and I go, I'm not kidding you. This is not going to end well. And he's like 6'3", and I just hauled off and punched him in the stomach and brought him to his knees. I was like, he goes, I can't believe you hit me. And I'm like, I told you.
Back up.
It's not like I didn't warn you. I said it like 4 times. What did, English was a second language, though. But anyway, I think get away from me is pretty, like, who does not know what that means?
True.
Especially when you're screaming and I just heard that you got a blowjob from someone else. Yeah. I mean, and I hurled your sandwich down the hall. So, I don't know.
Okay,
oh,
well, we gotta run, guys. Jamie, what age?
I was 16.
16. You see, she's more normal.
All right.
Okay.
Whatever.
There we go.
I'm a repressed Republican.
Haven't had it since.
Doesn't
it
fit?
Are.
That's okay.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, but you know what?
Thank all you right. so much for having us, you guys.
Sure.
Yeah,
thank
you,
for
y'all.
Coming.
Thanks for being here.
Wait a minute. We got to promote and plug your show.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Jules and James.
Be with us on Monday to talk about some hot topics and just discuss the election, definitely, that's coming up. And some really fun things about dating and people and friends and family and the whole nine.
Yep. Sounds good. I'm looking forward
to it.
I know
four
I'm going to be listening. Monday, 4 to 5. I'm going to be listening for sure.
Are you?
So,
I'm going to be in statistics class, but I will catch it later.
Woo! TiVo. Right. Oh, I'm sorry.
So, Jamie and Julia, thank
yes.
you so much
thank
for joining
y'all.
Us.
It was fun.
And don't forget the show, Jules and James.
Yes.
And y'all be right Monday. Back here tomorrow morning.
Woohoo!
Yes, ma'am.